Sometimes you come to a word and it comes really strong, and other times it's different, and this one kind of percolated and evolved for a bit, because what I wanted to do was actually remind us of some of the things the Lord has spoken to us over the last year. Because, you know, if God speaks, he speaks with intent and purpose, that it should have an impact on our lives. And if we come along and we listen and go, that was nice, or you go and say to the preacher, that was a good word, and then 2 weeks later you don't remember what they spoke about, or nothing in your life happened, then it actually begins, you begin to wonder what's going on. And I was going to title it something different, and then this title came to me, and I just felt it was really important. Jesus should get what he's paid for. Because we've thought about Jesus coming at Christmas time, and in a few weeks we'll be thinking about his sacrifice at Easter. Passover. Hate that term, Easter. Rebuke myself for that one. When he was crucified and he rose again, he paid a great price that he would have a people for his own possession. And that's what that verse I've put up there says. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim. Oh, there's a reason for it. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're meant to be a people who will give him honor and glory and tell others of the kingdom. You know, when we think about paying for stuff, just about 10 days ago or so, I ordered something from Amazon that was meant to go in my car and keep the fog away from the inside of the car, dehumidify, just looks like a sausage. So as you do with Amazon, you pay your money and you get an email back straight away saying, thank you, your order's in process. And usually an hour later, you get another email saying, your order is now, it's been dispatched, it's gone. And it should arrive to you by Friday. Well, Friday came and the postman came and the postman went, and Saturday came and the postman came and the postman went, and Monday came with a parcel. Oh, it wasn't for me. And so it went on till Thursday. I thought, well, it's getting on a bit, isn't it? Well, I paid for it. Doesn't really matter, does it? Don't get it. Just ignore it. Just waste the money. Is that how you'd feel?
No.
No, something rises up inside us. It's a kind of a sense of injustice about, hang on, I've paid some money here and I should have had this. So tappity tappity tap into there, get back to us, contact us. Where's my stuff? For those of you who are on Amazon. And straight away an apology comes back and they refund the postage and say, if it hasn't come by Friday, they'll dispatch it. No, Saturday, they'll dispatch another one. So that was Thursday, and Friday the postman came and delivered it. I did check the dispatch date to just see if it was true, and it was dispatched the day that it said. But the point was, I'd paid for something and I expected to get what I'd asked for. Jesus came at great cost and paid for redemption, for souls, for his creation. And it's terribly, terribly unjust if he doesn't get what he's paid for. And over the year, we had some important messages to encourage us to be the people of God that would be what he's paid for. But if we walked away from those things and done nothing, we're not really honouring his sacrifice. We're not honouring what he's done. And I want to, initially, let's have a look at what redemption looks like. Slide 2, thank you, Kevin. What does redemption look like? It's interesting. We don't collude on this at all. What did we read at the top of the service? Psalm 103. What's my second slide? Psalm 103. What did Jesus actually do? And this was written before Jesus came, because that's how well the Bible stitches together, as Viv was saying. Psalm of David, mine says, bless the Lord, not praise the Lord, but never mind. New American Standard. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. We're not meant to forget what he's paid for. He pardons all your iniquities. That's it, we'll pack up then at that point. He pardons all iniquities. Well, that'll do, I've got my ticket on the glory train. There's my ticket on the glory train. I'll get to heaven, thank you Lord, that's it. Pardons all my iniquities. Oh, hang on, it carries on. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life, your whole being, from the pit. Your life, your life, your life, he redeems it. Every day, every morning when you wake up is a day of redemption in which you can live in the power and the glory of God. Well, it's not a bad deal. He crowns you with loving kindness. We like crowns, don't we? Like a bit of bling. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. His goodness is toward you. His goodness is toward you. When the angels came to the shepherds, they said, peace on earth and, in the, if you read the King James, goodwill toward men, from henceforth and forever. God's good intention was toward us from this point. Crowns you with compassion and kindness. He satisfies your years with mediocre, average, sometimes bad things. No, it doesn't say that. He says it crowns your years with good things. So that your, well, I like this one. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. Some of us would definitely like some of that. And you can read all sorts of weird stuff about eagles going off and getting renewed. And some scientists say it's a load of bunkum and others say it's good. But anyway, yeah, it's in the Bible. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. And the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. Oh, awesome. Are people around us oppressed? People who don't know the Lord oppressed. You know that. And you know there's times when that, those things, as Rose was testifying, sometimes they come against us. But God has redeemed us. Praise God for that testimony. Thank you, Rose. Powerful. God redeems. He delivers. He breaks the yoke. And we read the rest of it, and I haven't got time to do that because I want to recap on some of the other things. And this is what the Bible says our redemption is. And it's not just when we cross the Jordan and, you know, and on the faint by and by. It's now. How can he redeem your life and give you good things if it's just in future in heaven? It's now. It's now. The kingdom is now. It's upon us now. Next slide. Thank you. This is my in piece of scripture, and it's really, again, it'd be the whole chapter if we had time, and we don't. Isaiah 61. This is the word of God to the church right now. And you'll hear preachers around the world grabbing onto this, saying, this is now, this is a moment. The Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting. So they will be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That Jesus gets the reward of his suffering. That God, the Father, is honored because of what Jesus has done. And Jesus opened that scripture and said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your midst, when he read that in the synagogue. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, he said. And that now works for us because we are in Christ. This is the favorable day, the favorable year of the Lord, to proclaim liberty to captives. This is redemption. This is the redemption power. It comes to bring us benefits in order that we might share those benefits. You know, when we come to the Lord and we get saved, we are given the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, we're told, and seals us as sons. We're sealed eternally by the Holy Spirit. But you know, if we live right and walk in purity and live in faith and promises of God, the Holy Spirit comes upon us as well. You'll find the two different terms talked about in Scripture. He lives in us for our sake, but he comes upon us for the sake of the world, to empower us to bring the love of God to those who need it, to break the yoke of the oppressed. That's redemption. And if we stop at, thank you, Lord, my sins are forgiven, we're not honoring God. Let's move on. We need to agree with what the Bible says about our lives. We need to be in agreement with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. You know, if the Holy Spirit is in us and he's telling us stuff and we start to disagree with him, you know, particularly when, you know, you get that image of the Holy Spirit resting like a dove, You can imagine if you do the wrong thing, the dove just flits. It's precious. And there's this scripture from Colossians in 3 and the first 7 verses. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, which we have, keep seeking the things above. You have been raised up with Christ. We are beyond the cross. Get that? Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. We take up the cross to where we lay down our life as he laid down his life. In submission to the Father, in submission to Jesus, we lay down our life, we give it up to make him Lord. And then in that, we are raised up with him. We go beyond the cross. We don't stop at the cross, kneeled at the foot of the cross, crying our eyes out at the suffering of Jesus. We see it, we let it touch our lives, and we surrender. We see our lives crucified with him. And then he raises us up with him. And we should be seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died. There you go. At the cross, you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, powerful words, Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. When we're redeemed, we're no longer in that place. We're not sinners anymore. We're redeemed sons of God. Our sins are forgiven. Can I make a mistake? Yes, I can. If I sin, I confess my sin. And he's faithful and just to forgive us my sins. Why is he just? Because it's justice for Jesus that my sins are forgiven. You know, if we don't agree with what the Bible says about us and about who we are, we're not really giving God the glory that he's due. In fact, we're robbing him of his glory. And here it says it amounts to idolatry. We're giving attention to that to which we've been redeemed from. We've been bought to be able to move away from this. And if we give attention to that, we're not honouring God. Jesus says agreement is powerful. He reminds us in Matthew 18 and 19, actually. He says, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Agreement is a powerful thing. But we need to know what and who we're agreeing with. What and who we're agreeing with. You know, we can walk through our lives and we can be getting strong in the Word, and there's somebody out there who doesn't like it. And I don't want to give a lot of attention to the devil, but he doesn't like it. And he'll send people against you, or demonic hosts against you, or whatever you want, to come and chitter in your ear. Say, it's a load of rubbish. Don't believe that, do you? Oh, look at you. You're just a sinner. Oh, you're no good. You can't do anything. And he starts to lie to you. And the weight of those lies can either press on you, or we can agree with the Word of God and say, it's a lie. But if we do find ourselves agreeing with him, and sometimes he's a lot more subtle than the examples I give, and we find ourselves suddenly agreeing with him, we start to give the devil power over our lives. Because we're agreeing with him. That's how he got Adam and Eve in the garden to fall. He got them to agree with him. He came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness to say, if you are the Son of God, then feed yourself. He challenges what God has spoken to us. And he wants our agreement. But if we don't give him agreement, he has no power over us. None at all. Absolutely none at all. I do not want the devil or any of his hosts to have any influence or power over my life. And I say to the Holy Spirit regularly, keep me sharp. Let me be aware of the lies the enemy is trying to speak to me, that I can come against it with the truth of God. I haven't got time to read the next scripture I've got down, but in Corinthians it's talk about not being bound together with unbelievers and not being partnered with things that are unrighteous. Because he said, if you don't touch those things, if you don't let those things touch you, I will welcome you And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. That's 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. Our God is jealous for our affection. He loves us deeply, deeply. And he wants our affection and love. And anything that gets in the way of that, he's jealous of. Because it mounts, that's why idolatry is an important thing to avoid. So take care who we agree with. Next slide, thank you. So this is in Ephesians 4. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him or have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And I've spoken lots about that over the year. Put on the new self, which is in what? The likeness of God. Put on the new self in the likeness of God. Back to the beginning. At the beginning in the garden, he said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Let us make them. And that's why the devil hates you. Because he wanted to be like God. And God says, let us make man in our image. The devil hates humanity. And he wants to destroy it. But God, in his redemptive power, wants to destroy the works of the devil through humanity. And through a man on a cross, he defeated the works of the devil. So in your lives, in your humanity, you have power and authority over the devil. Hallelujah. I'll just finish reading that scripture. That you were created and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new self in the likeness of God, which has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin, and let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. And I've put a break in because I just don't have space to read it all. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You've been given and sealed by the Spirit. So what are some of the things that the Lord has said to us in the year? Can you remember all the sermons from last year? Anybody quote to me the sermons from last year? What if I said Sally's sermon? So that's number 8 on the list. Sons, not slaves. Dave spoke a bit before that about being thankful, thanksgiving. I spoke a bit before that about pursuing and overtaking. In the end, I'm going to go back on a couple of these. Katie talked about the presence of God. Dave talked about not getting snared. I talked about having an eternal purpose. I can't remember who did living in the faith relationship. That was Dave or Katie, I'm not sure. That was Dave. Being open to love. Katie. That's just a smattering of some of the sermons we got. Being open to love is when Katie put, and we started singing Frères Jacques, where it was, put the verse up. May your love. Do you remember it? Do you remember that verse? Yeah. Overflow. Being open to love, working in our lives. Does anybody think that's actually had an impact? It's been a tough year, but it has had an impact, hasn't it? I really believe. And I started to reflect how I feel. I don't know how you feel, but how I feel towards you and different people around. I know love in my heart has grown. To people that I didn't actually know even related to before. Love has grown in my heart. The word of God working in us. Sung to silly tunes, it doesn't matter, whatever it is. But the word of God was changing us. Love is everything. It's where it centres. God is love. That's one word. Don't get snared, David said. And this was a word about forgiveness. And it's a really powerful and really important word. I want to spend just a few moments looking at that. Because unforgiveness can tie our hearts up terribly. It gives room for all kinds of things to get into our hearts. And David spoke a very, very powerful word on that. A very significant word. Do you know, you become like what you worship. That's why people worship things. Like footballers and stuff, because that's what they want to be like. You become like what you worship. And what you worship is where your emotional energy is being spent. And if you're holding anger and bitterness towards somebody, do you know what? You're worshipping them. You might not like to hear it said that way, but you're actually giving them your emotional energy and attention, and you're worshipping someone you would actually rather hate. But you're giving them worship, and you're giving them power over your lives. They're gaining power over your life. Because that bitterness and anger rises up inside you, whoever it's toward, whatever, if it's an institution, if it's a person, whatever, is taking control of your life. And it's not what you want. It's the last thing you want. You don't want to be like that. You don't want to be a part of that. But actually your emotional attention is being sucked into that, and it's a form of idolatry. And the Lord doesn't want to allow that in your life. He does not want to allow that in your life. There's a powerful, very, very, very powerful parable that Jesus teaches in Matthew 18. Actually, the same chapter I quoted before, towards the end of the chapter, the 30s, where he talks about the servant who went to plead with his master to get debts forgiven. And the master forgave all his debts. And then he turned around straight away to one of the other servants and said, "Give me everything you owe or I'll throw you in prison." And wouldn't forgive. And what happened when that was reported back to the master said, "Deliver him over to the tormentors, to the torturers, until he's sorted his act out," basically. Now this is the verse. It says, "And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers," this is verse 34, "until he should repay all that was owed him. My," this is Jesus, "my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Are you being tormented by demonic oppression? You'll be tormented by things? Here's a doorway. Jesus says this can happen. It's pretty scary. And it can start with a root of unforgiveness and bitterness. It'll destroy your life. And God is so jealous for your love that he will actually bring discipline against you in order to set you free. He wants you to be free. It's not he's taking delight in the discipline. I'm sorry that sounds really heavy, but it's true. And I don't want to see anybody in this room, or anybody in this neighborhood for that matter, being captive to unforgiveness. It's a terrible thing. It's a painful thing. And that was a really, really important word in the year. And I felt I really had to bring it back. And then I've put down presence of God. I couldn't do enough on that, but I couldn't do justice to that in a recap, because the presence of God is everything. God is with us. We've been saying that a lot just lately. God is with us. God is with us. God is with us all the time. And the presence of God is really important, that we learn to practice our life in the presence of God. Then the word I spoke about, David at Ziklag. Your lives have been plundered, and some of you have been plundered more than others by terrible circumstances, by things happening, relationship breakdowns, all kinds of things. Things in your life have been plundered. And the Lord said to David, "Pursue and overtake, and I will bring everything back." The power of the redeeming God brings back everything that's been stolen from you by the enemy. I think that is just an amazing verse. And they didn't just bring back what was stolen. They plundered the enemy and brought back abundance. The enemy wants to keep you oppressed. He wants to tell you you haven't got anything. He wants to tell you you're weak. He tells you we need all this rubbish. And we can live under that and live under his lies. Or we can pursue. Pursuing God. Pursuing the presence of God. Pursuing where God would go with us. Overtake the enemy. Get ahead of the enemy in our lives and take everything back for the glory of God and more besides. I want to take everything back. I want to take a whole load of this neighborhood back. The enemy's stealing lives out of their families. I want to take them back to the Lord. Whole families. And some of you are wearied by what's happened in your life. And we understood from that story, it's okay. Some will be sitting with the baggage. They don't have to make the run. Others can pursue. And you'll still benefit from the goodness of God winning it back. That's a very strong message. I don't think a whole year I felt more emotionally moved and bound up by a message or more prayed into than I did that one. Thanksgiving. Focus on thanksgiving. And it's really important, you know, because when we're believing God for good stuff, we're believing God for really important things. I heard a word a few weeks ago when I was watching something and they were speaking and said, even if you're watching now and you've got arthritis, we're going to come against that. And I thought, hey, man, I'll take some of that. And a few days later, some of the pain just vanished just while we're in house group. And I went, thank you, Lord. And then a bit like Rose, it came back. And I'm saying, Lord, you said it was gone. And I keep looking at myself in the mirror or praying on bed saying, Lord, this does not belong in my body. It does not belong in my body because the Lord's spoken a word to me. There's other things I've got I haven't got a word on yet, but that I felt I had a word on. I've got to keep pursuing. And it'd be easy to get disappointed, and we do get disappointed when it doesn't come right. But the answer when it doesn't come right is to turn to thanksgiving. To start thanking God for who he is, what he's done. Listen to the testimonies of others. You should be built up by testimonies shared this morning and encouraged that God is at work. And say, hallelujah. Then I'll give him praise. I'll give him thanksgiving. And that is a powerful and wonderful thing. In Psalm 27, read Psalm 27. Bathe in it, wash in it, pour it over your head, whatever you do. Psalms is brilliant. Psalm 27 I've put down here. For in the day of trouble, in the day of trouble, in the day of trouble. So there will be days of trouble. In the day of trouble, he will what? Conceal me in his tabernacle, in his dwelling place, in his tent, the place where he is. He will take me into his house. In the day of trouble, in the secret place of his tent. Oh, come aside, son. Let's go somewhere where it's really quiet in the corner and let's huddle. You feel that? In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. There's trouble out there, but he's going to hide me. And then he grabs me like a little toddler and he sets me up upon a rock. That's what it says. He lifts me up upon a rock. And then he says, lift your head. Lift up, he says. And now your head will be lifted up. And he says, look at this trouble. Look at the disappointments. Look at that. You're on a rock. You're above your enemies. You're lifted high. And you'll look down upon those things from a kingdom heaven perspective, seated with Christ in heavenly places in his tabernacle. You will look from heaven to those things that are coming against your life, and you will see that he has taken the victory, and you will give him thanks. And giving him thanks and praise. And I will offer up then in his tent with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a powerful, powerful thing, praise and thanksgiving. Nearly done. And then Sally talked about sons, not slaves. And I think it was only a few weeks before I'd preached about who we are in the Lord, saying the same thing. We're a royal people. Royal people. You are sons of the King. You're no longer a slave. Servants, yes. Slaves, no. Except love slaves to Christ, if you want to go that way. We get servanthood very misunderstood in our society. We think servanthood is lowly. Well, Jesus was a servant of all. And Jesus says those who would choose to lead should be the servants of all, because he washed their feet and pointed that out. There's nothing lowly about servanthood. It's awesome. There's nothing wrong with servanthood, but you're not a slave. You are royalty. You're an heir to all that is in the kingdom of God, as it is in heaven now. You are now seated in heavenly places, and being a son and not a slave is important. And our next slide, because I need to push on. First aid from Jesus. Jesus said, struggling in praying and knowing what to do, pray like this then. And we know these words so well that perhaps because we don't like liturgy in our church, we ignore them. Because we like freedom, and don't we? Freedom of expression. We don't want to be tied to words. So pray like this, he says. My Father, Daddy, Abba, seated on the throne in heaven, above all principalities and powers, everything under your feet. I want to honour your name. I want to lift up your name. I want to fall in love with you over again this morning as I pray. I want to bless you. I want to glorify you. I want to see you honoured above all. Oh, Lord, because I love you so much and I've seen your love. Bring your kingdom now here on earth as it is in heaven. Let it now be on earth. Not in some future time, but now. Now. Forgiveness, healing, wholeness, deliverance for the captives. All of that is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, pray on earth as it is in heaven. When you pray, you need to pray from heaven. You need to get up there, let him put you on a rock, seat yourself with Christ and look from heaven and pray from heaven to earth. Give us this day our daily bread. He knows we're but dust. He knows our frame. He knows a little bit of something in our tummy helps. Don't worry about it, son. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. Oh, how many of you are anxious for tomorrow, honestly? Don't put your hands up. Oh, and here we go. Forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins, whatever you want to use us. We have forgiven our debtors. Forgiveness is conditional on forgiving. But, Father, please don't lead us into a place where we suffer temptation. Move my feet constantly away from evil and the powers of darkness. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Hallelujah. Then he says, he re-emphasizes that point about forgiveness, which is why I had to just really bring that in strongly. Nothing wrong with looking at that prayer and paraphrasing it over for yourself a little bit. As it is in heaven, here on earth. In 1 John, can't quite remember the reference, it says, as he is, as Jesus is, as he is now, as he is now in heaven, so are we in this earth. As he is, so are we. Well, above all principalities and powers, raised to glory, seated in heavenly places, our King, our Lord, overcome death and hell. The worst that could be thrown at our physical frame is death. It's banished. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish with Psalm 27 because it's worth reading. A Psalm of David. Not David Evans, by the way. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Don't let fear get a hold of you. The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. Is that how you feel? One thing I've asked from the Lord, and that's what I want to seek. That I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Not all the days of his death, all the days of my life. Dwelling in the presence of God. Hallelujah. That's where we're meant to be. To behold the beauty of the Lord. To look upon his face. Do you ask him that you could look and gaze upon his loveliness? Do you say, Lord, I want to be drawn close to you so I can gaze at you. I can be lost in love looking at you. That's what David was asking. Meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent. He will hide me, he will lift me up on the rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon or forsake me, O God of my salvation. Wow, this is David, Old Testament. Awesome. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord takes me up. It doesn't matter how abandoned you are in this earth. The Lord will take me up. Hallelujah. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries. Sounds a bit like the Lord's Prayer there, doesn't it? For false witnesses have risen against me. Who's that? Don't call him by name. And such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. So this morning, his word to you. Thank you, Maureen, vision earlier on. Take courage. Take courage. Take courage. Be strong. Wait for the Lord. He will come to you and give you courage, as he's done, as we've heard in testimony already this morning. Number of times when Jesus reached out to heal people, he said, take courage. When Jesus, when the Lord came, angel of the Lord, or that Lord came to Old Testament people, he said, take courage, Joshua. Take courage, Gideon. Take courage, Moses. Why did he say that? Because he said, I am with you. I am with you. The Lord God Emmanuel. God with us, the presence of God. He is with us. His last words to the disciples was, lo, I am with you always. Always. Everything else might disappear, but I am with you. Take courage. Take courage to face the things you're finding difficult to face. Take courage to overcome the enemies around you. Take courage to face the decisions that are hard. Come into his presence. Know you're a son. Know there is love here in the body as well as from the throne. Know that praise and thanksgiving are good first aid. Don't let the enemy steal from you. He's a liar, a thief, and a murderer. But thanks be to God, Jesus has overcome the enemy. Just let the words percolate into you. And maybe you'll turn to someone in a minute or two and say, what I heard this morning. Seal it. Respond to it. If you want prayer as well, respond to it. Let's just take a moment of quiet. Let the Holy Spirit speak into our hearts.